chapter 3. Second Corinthians chapter 3. It's good to be in the house of God. Good to be in church. It's good to be away from the world for a while. Amen. Good to be away from Fox News. Good to be away from CBS and ABC and NBC and all that junk going on. I sure would be glad when the Lord comes back. Amen. I like old Franklin Graham. The more I hear him, the more I like him. He and I wouldn't agree on everything like anybody, but I heard him yesterday, and he said, I can't tell you who to vote, but vote for God. Amen. I like what he said. He said, you just pray and say, God. He said, there's no way I tell you who to vote. He said, I don't know. He said, what we need in this country is God. Amen. And that's what we need. Take your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul's writing. This is some good stuff here. Amazing. This Bible's amazing. It's amazing. Paul's already been over to the Corinthian church, and they saw what he could do, and they're always bugging him, you know. They're always trying to examine. He said one time, so the you that examined me, they're always questioning who he was. And you know, they're the most carnal church in the whole Bible. And he said one time, I couldn't give you milk because you're little babies and you're carnal and there's divisions and strifes among you. And carnal Christians are that way. They look for all the problems, you know, and all the little things. And there Paul said over here in 2 Corinthians 3 verse 1, he says, do we begin again to commend ourselves? He says, do we need epistles of commendations to you? He said, or do we need letters of commendations from you? You know what they were wanting? They were wanting a commendation, a letter from somebody about the Apostle Paul. He said, y'all really looking. I don't like church letters, amen? People say, well, we're joining by letter. You don't join by letter. You join by the new birth, amen? Don't bring a letter around here. We're not interested in any kind of letters. And that's what Paul said. He said, you're wanting a letter from me. You're wanting an epistle of commendation. In verse 2, he said, for you are our epistle written in our hearts. He said, known and read of all men. He said, you want to see an epistle. You want to see the fruit. Look at your own self. You're part of the ministry you have. Verse 3 says this, for as much as you know, he says, for as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not with tables of stone, but of fleshly tables of the heart. That's a great verse. For as much as you are manifestly declared to be an epistle of Christ. The word epistle is a Greek transliteration of the word epistole or epistolos, and it's a word that means a written letter. 21 of the New Testament books, there's 27 books in the New Testament, 21 of them are called epistles. They're letters that somebody wrote to somebody or a church. Paul writes to Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. That's the prison epistles they call. 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus, they're known as the pastoral epistles, but they're letters that somebody wrote. And the word epistle, it means a letter. And it says that you are manifestly declared to be the letter of Jesus Christ. Like one Sunday school teacher, she had some little kids in there in Sunday school, and she said, who knows what an epistle is? And one little girl raised her hand. She said, isn't that the wives of the apostles? Sounds like it ought to be, shouldn't it? And I want to preach for a few minutes this morning on an epistle of Christ. I'm going to ask Brother Dot, would you take us the Lord in prayer before the message? Amen. Paul said in verse 2, he said, you're our epistle written in our hearts. He said, known and read of all men. You know, people will watch you. You know, everybody in here, people read you and they watch you. And you're given a letter today, wherever you go, where on your job, your friends, or your family. And I wonder this morning what they're reading about you. When they look at you, are they reading politics? Are they reading Hillary or Trump? Are they reading football? Are they reading the Lord Jesus Christ? What are they reading about? When you get excited, when they look at you and there's a letter and you come in and they say, well, there's old so-and-so. He's a big Alabama fan. Or when you walk in and they say, well, there's so-and-so. That right there, brethren, is a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. What are they reading about you? Paul says over there, for you are manifestly declared to be the epistle, the letter of Christ. People will read you. They'll watch you. And they read every one of us. Every one of us, we're an open book to everybody. People watch you. They watch me. Over in Acts chapter 28, it's funny. Over there, Paul's over there and they get in the island of Melita. You remember that? They have a shipwreck. And the Bible tells us that Paul goes over there and he starts gathering some sticks for a fire. And it said a viper, a snake, comes out of the fire and bites him on the arm, a poisonous snake. And all the pagans and all the barbarians, they said, fate caught up for him. He's a murderer. He's for sure now he'll die. They said he's a murderer. Then he shook the snake off his arm and threw it in the fire. And the Bible said they saw that it did him no harm. And it said they changed their minds and said he was a god. People are fickle, aren't they? I mean, one day you might be a barbarian to them. And one day if you let people depend on you, one day they'll say, well, that guy's a god, man. That's the way people are. They'll read you. And I want to preach on an epistle of Christ. I remember what one preacher told me years ago when I got saved. He said, the world, they're going to hate you if you're a hypocrite. And he said, they're going to hate you if you live for the Lord. He said, so you might as well just live for the Lord and let the chips and the people do their own thing. Amen. I don't worry about what people think about me. I worry about what God thinks about me. Amen. I'm not worried about what people think. I gave that up the day I got saved, pretty much. And I want to preach on an epistle of Christ. And if you're saved this morning, I want to tell you, you are an epistle. You are a letter of Jesus Christ. I want to say, first of all, there's the publication of that letter. Look at verse 3. It says this, for as much as you are manifestly declared to be an epistle of Christ. You know what that is? It's a bombastic, fantastic, dogmatic, emphatic statement right there. It says you are manifestly declared to be an epistle of Christ. I mean, there is no wiggle room in that right there. You know what the word manifest means? It means to be open. It means to be plain. It means to be obvious. It means to be loud and proud. It says that Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. You and I are declared to be manifestly declared to be an epistle of Christ. If you're saved this morning, everybody around you ought to know that you are an epistle of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says manifestly declared. That word manifest, it means to be open. It means to be loud. It means to be clear. And then there's the word declare. That word declare comes from two words. It means literally to be clear. That word declare, it means to proclaim with excitement. It means to proclaim with excitement and open. Just like Brother Vincent got up here and preached the other day. You know what? He has some excitement about him. And brother, you ought to be manifestly declared to be an epistle of Christ. And I don't know about you, but I'd rather be an epistle of Jesus Christ than anything on this earth. Anything. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I am a Christian, amen, like that little boy. Bless God, I want to be associated with the Lord Jesus Christ more than anything. Manifestly declared. That's a double whammy. That's two dogmatic statements manifestly declared to be an epistle of Jesus Christ. Our Christian testimony, the people that see us, that hear us, that know us, they ought to know without a shadow of a doubt that we are a letter, an epistle of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want people to know what I believe and stand for. There's the publication. You and I, people get around us, they ought to know what we are. It ought to be real. It ought to be with excitement. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Remember over there? It said, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and realized they were unlearned and ignorant people, it says, they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. How? When they saw the boldness of them. I tell you, we ought to be bold as a child of God, and we ought to be manifestly declared to be an epistle of Jesus Christ. There's the publication. I want people to know what I believe. I want people to know who I believe in. I'm not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone that knows you, they ought to know that right there in this body is a living, breathing, walking epistle of Jesus Christ. I don't care if you go to Arby's. I don't care if you go to McDonald's. I don't care if you go to Winn-Dixie. I don't care if you go to the doctors. I don't care wherever you might go. When you leave that place, they ought to say, bless God, that was an epistle of Christ who walked in here. We ought to be able to come behind you wherever you go, either it's a grocery store, either it's a gas station. We ought to be able to go behind you, and there ought to be a witness for Jesus Christ behind it. If you're an epistle of Jesus Christ. I never forget the time I went to the hospital there to see Brother Cooper, and Miss Jenna was there in the waiting room. And I went in that waiting room, remember that, and had tracks everywhere. I don't mean one or two tracks. I mean, they were laid out all over the place. Gospel tracks. And I asked Miss Jenna, I said, who in the world put these up, all these tracks? And she said, Brother Bledsoe and his boys have been up here. He's got a bunch of little boys about that big, you know, are all Bible. He ain't been flaunting that thing, brother. That was an epistle of Jesus Christ. Brother Bledsoe was telling me a while back, he passing out tracts at McDonald's or someplace, and gave us a couple of tracts and said, I want to give you something, a little gospel tract to read. Saw him again, another place, a little bit later, said, I want to give you a little gospel tract to the same people. He said he saw him again the third time and gave him a tract. And he said, they said, you know, I believe God's trying to tell us something and they're members of his church right now. My oldest brother up there in the hospital, his wife was in the hospital a while back and she had high blood pressure issues. And I got a text from Brother Bledsoe and it said, hey, I just talked to your brother, your sister-in-law's in the hospital. And I called Ronnie up and find out what was going on. He said, oh, I guess you must have talked to that preacher man I talked to. I said, I did. Brother Bledsoe done witnessed to him while he was up there. You know what that is? That's an epistle of Jesus Christ. Brother, where you go, they ought to know that you're an epistle of the Lord. We go by Arby's on the way home Sunday nights. And Esther usually goes in. And she's always got her handful of tracts and passing them out to everybody. And they're looking for different ones, don't they? She tries to get different ones because they say, give us some of them tracts. And I went in there one night. I don't normally go in there because I'm usually sweating and everything. But that night I went in there and I was talking to some of the guys. You know, I gave them tracts. And I was talking to one of the guys. I said, not much business here now. He said, no. He said, but boy, if you'd have been here early after church. He said, a lot of senior saints come in. He said, this place is packed. He said, we really enjoy it. He said, we know all of their names. We know them real well. We have a good time. And I said, well, I bet if I come in here more often, you probably know me. And all of them in there started laughing. They said, Mr. Watkins, everybody here knows you. You know what that was? That was a blessing. That was a blessing. We used to go by Zaxby's. And I used to give tracts out there to them little kids there. And there was a little black girl that I talked to about the Lord several times. And I was in there one night on the way home and I gave her a tract. And she said, hold here, stay right here for a second. And she runs out there, her husband and little boy is out there. And she come out there and she said, I want you to meet my husband and little boy. She said, this is the man I've been telling you about. That's a blessing, brethren. It ought to be where you go. They ought to know there's an epistle, there's a letter of the Lord Jesus Christ. Me and Brother Jeff got to go out yesterday and met that lady. And I'm like Brother Jeff, man, my heart was just overflowing with this lady. And I mean, she had a glow about her. And boy, when she first came to the door, she didn't want to talk. She said, I got my bathrobe on, my house clothes on. And I said, well, we're here from Pearl Lake Baptist Church. Let me give you some. She opened a little bit more, didn't she? And we got talking about, we was there 15 minutes, and we could have stayed there right now, couldn't we, talking to her? And I'm going to tell you what that lady was. She was an epistle of the Lord Jesus Christ, wouldn't you, Brother Jeff? I mean, she was overflowing with the Lord. You know, we ought to be, there's a publication, we ought to be an epistle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother, if somebody comes and knocks on your door, they ought to know there's an epistle of Jesus Christ right there. I guarantee you, you knock on Brother Bob Smith's door, you're going to get a witness or he'll hold you down. Amen. He called me a couple of months ago. Some lady tried to come by and try to sell him insurance. He got her saved, led her to the Lord. He was telling me that, we was talking about it yesterday. He was there at Walmart, led that lady 95 years to the Lord. He don't have no tack. He don't know the Roman road. He just says, hey, you saved? They said, no. He said, you're going to burn in hell, lady. One of them got mad, said, I don't like you. I'm leaving. The other and said, I'm going to stay around and see what you got to say. He led her to the Lord. So what is that? That's an epistle of Jesus Christ. Brother, there's the publication. It's manifestly declared. Everybody ought to know. I don't know that you're a walking epistle for the Lord Jesus Christ. Miss Jane. Raise your hand, Miss Jane. Raise your hand. How many know Miss Jane? I don't even know who she is, do you? She's so quiet. She just sits there. I have knocked on 5 or 6 doors around this area, Miss Jane. Some of you been with me. Hello, we're from Pearl Lake Baptist Church. Miss Jane! Miss Jane cuts my hair. As soon as I get Pearl Lake Baptist Church out, they'll say, my barber goes there. She cuts. You know what this lady did? She's a pistol for the Lord Jesus. She's a witness for Him. I see her all the time back there getting her a big old stack of Chick Tracks. She'll say, I'm getting these for work. So what is that? That's an epistle of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was up talking to Brunk's son a couple of weeks ago when he was in the hospital. And Bunk was asleep and got to talk to Brent for a while. Brent's been out of church for a while. And I was telling him, I was on. I say, Brent, you're wasting your whole life, man. Had some issues in the church, got mad, we won't go to church. I said, you're running it, man. You're just blowing your whole life down the tubes. And you can't go back and get it. I said, you need to get in church and get those kids in the house of God. And you know you're saved. I said, you need to watch out for them kids you got. He said, oh, I know. He said, you sound just like my daddy and Miss Jane. What he said. I told Miss Jane about it. You know what she said? Remember what she told me? She said, I need to get on him more then. You know what that is? That's an epistle of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, when she's cutting hair, she's telling people about the Lord. It manifestly declared to be the epistle of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, some people, we're the only Bible they'll ever read. I like what somebody said one time, a preacher. He said, all of us can't be apostles, but we're all epistles. We're all epistles for the Lord, manifestly declared. They call old Jack Van Impe the walking Bible. You know, you and I, we're a walking, breathing Bible, a letter of Jesus Christ. We're the only Bible this careless world will read. We are the sinner's gospel. We are the scoffer's creed. We are the Lord's last message given in deed and word. What if the type is crooked? What if the print is blurred? What if our hands are busy with other work than His? What if our feet are walking where sin's allurement is? What if our tongues are speaking of things His lips would spurn? How can we hope to help them, brother, and hasten His return? We're the only Bible some folks will read. You know what? Brother Earl Ankrum that comes here and preaches. Brother Earl, he's known as the sandwich man. That's what he's known as. I've known him a long time. And his ministry was his preaching on the street. That's where he does most of his preaching. He's a great street preacher. And he wears these sandwich signs that has Bible verses on the front and the back. There's pictures of him on the internet. And he walks around on those streets. He goes to the Super Bowls. He goes to these racers. He goes everywhere he can and everywhere. And he wears these old big old sandwich signs like to you with Bible verses on the front and the back and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know something? Every one of us here, we're wearing a sign whether you like it or not. And we're all to be an epistle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Odell Ash, if you ever call him up on the phone, you know how he answers. Jesus saves. He don't say hello. I called him the other day. He said, Jesus still saves. They answered every time. You say, what is he? He's an epistle of Jesus Christ. Brother Mike Ruckman, Dr. Ruckman's son, was a good friend of mine down in Bible school. He was a great athlete, Mike was. Played high school football, really good athlete. And he used to tell me about his dad, Dr. Ruckman, when he'd go to football games. He said his dad would go to football games, and he'd be sitting up in the stand with a big old 4-foot sign that said, repent or perish, turn or burn, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He'd say, all those people up in the stand, and there's his dad with this big old sign holding up scripture. You say, what is that? That is an epistle of the Lord Jesus Christ is what that is. Brother, we ought to be manifestly declared to be an epistle of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you claim you're a Christian and you put that on there, I'm going to tell you, brother, the world ought to know it. There's the publication, number one. We're manifestly declared, whether you like it or not, you're an epistle of Jesus Christ. And second, I want to say, there's the publisher. Look what it says. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. For as much as you're manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, well, with the Spirit of the living God. You know who the publisher is? You know the one that does the writing? It's the Holy Spirit of God. And when you got saved, the Holy Spirit came and dwells in you. John chapter 14, verse 16. And I will pray the Father, He'll give you another comforter that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Romans 8. But if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of His. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God came in you and He lives in you. And He is the one that publishes and writes that epistle on your heart. And you know what? He'll only write as much as you let Him. He's the publisher, written not with ink, but written with the Spirit of the living God. It's amazing to me how we resist and fight the Holy Spirit. You know what He wants to do? He wants to take and write you and make you an epistle of Jesus Christ that all the world can see the difference you are. But He'll only write as much as you want Him to. Turn over to Psalms 45. Psalms 45. There's a publication. We're manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ. If you're saved, God has made you one of His epistles. And there's the publisher, the Holy Spirit of God. And I've heard people say, preacher, I just need more of the Holy Ghost. You're going to got all you're going to get. What you need to do, He needs more of you is what He needs. John said, He must increase and I must decrease. He'll do whatever you want to do. He's the publisher. He does the work as much as we let Him. Look at Psalms 45. I love this verse. Here's some good stuff. Psalm 45 verse 1 says this. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. That word indicting, it means my heart is indicting, Spurgeon said, means it's bursting forth with excitement and overflowing. It's something that we must say because we're exciting and we can't hold it back. And that verse says, my heart is indicting. And it said, I must speak of the things which make touching the king. You know who they're talking about? You know who the king is. Not Donald Trump. Not Nick Saban, not Hillary, not Bush, not Ronald Reagan. You say, who is it? You know who we ought to be excited about? It ought to be the Lord Jesus Christ. Our heart ought to be indicting and overflowing that we can speak of the things touching the King. We spend so much time wasting our time speaking about junk that don't even matter. I like the next part. It says, My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. You know who wants to write and use that tongue you got? The Holy Ghost of God. Brother, that heart of yours, it ought to be an overflowing. It ought to be indicting, man. I mean, you ought to be so excited about the King coming back. And brother, you ought to be ready with this tongue to be the ready, strong pen of a ready rider of the Holy Ghost. Just like we got out yesterday. I love Brother Jeff. Me and him, we do good, man. I do good with all of you, man. I love all of you, man. But me and him had a good time, man. We were excited about God talking to those people. I mean, we got back and all of us started sharing all the stories we had and hearing those people bragging on the Lord. Man, we met one guy. What was his name? Joseph. He didn't want to talk either, did he, Brother Jeff? We first came, he kind of got nervous and didn't want to open the door. And we said we were at Pearl Lake Baptist Church. And boy, he just opened up, didn't he? And we got talking about the Lord and the Lord coming back and how he was saved. Last night he had a Bible study in his house. And man, I could have got raptured right then. You say, well, it was the published, the Holy Ghost. We went next door, didn't we? Went next door. And there was another guy that loved the Lord too. He was just surrendered to preach, didn't he? He went to Silver Springs Baptist Church. He didn't want us to leave. He kept walking out with us, man. We was trying to get out. Had Silver Springs Baptist Church. And I'm going to tell you it was good because the Holy Ghost was publishing and writing in their hearts. I felt like I knew those people all my life. I want to say there's the publisher. The Holy Ghost of God, He's the one that writes, and we ought to be talking and bragging about the King. Too many times, man, we get lost in everything else, don't we? There's the publication, there's the publisher. Let me give you the pen. Turn to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at verse 18. Look at the end of that chapter. Boy, this is good. Woo! Woo! Man, whoever wrote that Bible, Brother David, they sure do know what's going on. Woo! Look at this. This is it. Y'all might want to buckle your seatbelts on this deal. You might get raptured with this one. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. The end of that chapter. That epistle of Christ. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And it says, we with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. You know what that glass he's talking about? He's talking about the Word of God. This is the glass. It's like a mirror. James chapter 1 over there said, be ye doers of the Word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if he's a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his face in a natural glass. This book's like a mirror. Verse 25, James, but whereas we look into the perfect law of liberty. And brother, when we get in this book, it's like a mirror. And you know what it does? It reflects the glory of God. And it says we're changed just like him from image to image. If you want to be an epistle of Christ, brethren, you got to spend some time in this book. I mean, you got to spend some time in this blessed old book. This is what the Holy Ghost, the publisher, writes with. This is his pen right here. This is all he's got, is this book. And I love this old blessed book. And the more we look in this book, and the more it reflects and shows the glory of God, the more it changes us to image, just like Him, from the same glory, even by the Spirit of God, it says. You look in that book, and I'm going to tell you, brethren, it'll change you. The Holy Ghost of God will take that book, and He'll dip it in the blood of Jesus Christ. And boy, I read that book, man, it just cleanses me up. I'm addicted to that thing, man. I'm like a heroin addict, man, Brother Jeff, Brother David. I got to have a shot of that scripture, man. I got to have it, man. I got to have it. And the Holy Ghost takes that Bible, and that's when He changes you. That's when you see the glory of God, and it changes it from image to image. Just like old Brother Vincent here last week. Wasn't that a blessing? That old boy come out of a Muslim family. Brother David, he got saved. They tried to kill him. Sister bit him on the shoulder, had a big old plug taken out of his shoulder where, when they heard he got saved. His dad was high up in the Muslim faith. This kid, this guy, Brother Vincent, before he got saved, he was a mullah in the Islam faith. He's a pastor of the Islam. Got saved. His sister, he said she was big. Remember that? She threw him on the ground, stepped on his stomach, bit a hunk out of his arm. Then they took and chained him and threw him in an animal preserve, thought the animals would eat him and kill him. You know what? He's preaching the gospel. His son's, his brother's pastoring the church. His sister's been saved. His mother's been saved. You say, what is that? That's the publisher taking his pen and changing from image to image. And they're saying, boy, he got something. People all look at you and say, that dude is different. That guy's got something. I remember when I got saved, I'll tell you the thing that got me is the guy that got saved. Randy Mills led me to the Lord. I remember the night I heard he got saved. I was sitting there partying with a bunch of guys doing drugs. And Carl Wunderlich said, hey, you hear? Randy Mills got religion. I said, get out of here. Randy Mills, he is a dope head, man. You don't happen to dope heads. That don't happen to them. He didn't do it. He said, oh, man, he did. He said, I'm telling you the truth. He got religion. I said, he's just fooling you. He's pulling your leg. He didn't go get religious. I said, man, he's a full doper, man. I was out about a month later. I was going to go by his house and pick him up. I had a bunch of dope, me and some other folks. I went by his house, went inside. There he was. He come out. I said, come on, man. We'll come by to pick you up. We got some dope. He said, man, I'll never forget what he told me, Brother Zito. He looked at me and said, I got a natural high with Jesus Christ. That shook me up, Brother David. I remember I left. I told him, I said, that guy's lost his mind. I said, I never heard this saved before, but I said, it's like he's been born again or something. Not the same guy. I never forget. I was keeping away from that dude. He wanted to go fishing one day. I loved to fish. He and I had fished, and I thought, well, can't do no harm fishing. So we get out there in the boat, and I'm over there smoking dope, swigging whiskey. And he's got a little Bible on the other end up there. And there's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Bearshucker, give me the Roman road and preach it to me. I tell you what, I parked that old boat and I said, get out of here, man. Guy's driving me nuts. He was. You know what happened? He'd been changed from image to image. God was all over him, man. He was driving me nuts. A little bit later, I got saved. He led me to the Lord. You know what that book would do? The publisher take that pen of that book and change you, man. I read a story years ago, well, recently too, by a man named Nathaniel Hawthorne. Miss Tara probably knows about him. His famous book was The Scarlet Letter, you know. He wrote in the Civil War time, wrote a lot of books, wrote a lot of short stories too. One of his most famous short stories was one called The Great Stone Face. Anybody ever read that? It's easy to read, it's short. Called The Great Stone Face. It told the story during the Civil War time. It was a little town in New Hampshire, and up in the mountains they had a natural geologic formation where the mountain had come in, and it looked like a man's face. It had the features like of a man's face. And they called it the Stone Face in the mountain. And the Indians that were lived there said that a man one day will come and he'll have that great stone face, and they said that man will be a great, great man. And as a little boy, his name was Ernest in the story. And old Ernest, he used to go, Brother Jeff likes to look at stuff, Miss Debbie, you know how he is. And I'll say Brother Jeff, rather than Ernest, let's just say Brother Jeff. And Brother Jeff, he'd go out there and look at that thing for hours. He'd look at that mountain, little kid. He'd get every little feature out of it. He decided he is going to find that great man. And every time somebody come through the town, Brother David and little Ernest, he'd run up there. Abraham Lincoln came through one day in that story. And he ran up here looking for Abraham Lincoln. Wasn't him. Everybody that came through, he looked for that face, Miss Rachel. And old Ernest, in the story, is kind of interesting. He becomes a preacher later on. But Ernest got to be up in years, and he would look at hours on that mountain, and that face get the features in his mind. I know he's going to find that great man. He got up in years. And one day he's in town walking across the street, and somebody says, "Hey, look! Hey, y'all, look! It's Ernest! Ernest is the face on the mountain! It's Ernest's face!" And they said, "Look, it's his face that's on the mountain." And the story is, Ernest looked at that face so much, Brother Dodd, that his face conformed to that face. And you know, you can look at that Bible so much, and you can read that Bible, and the glory of God is shining on it, and the Holy Ghost, the publisher, can take it and conform you to that image of Christ. And brother, you can be a real epistle of Christ. And there's the pen, and there's the paper, fleshly tables of heart. And there's the public. There's the public. Notice what it says. Paul said, "For you are epistles of Christ ministered unto us, known and read of all men." You know what? And we see it every time we go out visiting. And it breaks my heart. We heard it yesterday. We heard it from that lady. She has told us, didn't she, Brother Jeff? She said, "When I was a kid, when I was coming up to church, every church did what y'all were doing, didn't she?" She said, "Why don't they do it?" She said, "Only the Jehovah's Witnesses come by." She said, "Y'all are the only church that's ever come by, didn't she?" We hear that. We heard it from a couple of people. You say, "What's going on?" They're not wanting to be an epistle of Christ. We're to be public, known of all men. We ought to be proud of it. Brother, you and I are the only Bible they'll ever read, some of them. You and I are the only witness they'll ever get. I've talked to a bunch of people through the years, and some of you have been with me. Some of them, they were lost. And I've asked them, how many times did somebody ever come and witness to you like this? Every time everybody said, "Never." They don't assume they're getting in church, they're not. I led a young boy of the Lord back here a couple of years ago that worked for Windstream. Been going to Church of Highland for 10 years. 38 years old. Never heard the gospel. I took him the plan of salvation. His words were, "Man, that's amazing. I've never heard that." I said, "You've been in church. You've never..." He said, "I've never heard it." I said, "Would you like to get saved right now?" He said, "I sure would." You don't know. Me and Brother Jeff led four of those boys next door to the one time, did we, Brother Jeff? One of them said, he went to two churches, went to one Baptist church in the morning and another in the evening. I said, "You ever been saved?" He said, "Nope." This kid was 15 years old, 16. I said, "You know how to be saved?" He said, "Nope." I said, "Would you like to know how to be saved?" He said, "Yep." Led him to the Lord, talked to him while he prayed. Three more prayed. We're to be a public epistle of Jesus, known and read of all men. When you go in Arby's, when you go in McDonald's, you go to Zagby's, when you go to Frontier Grill, wherever you go, brother, they ought to know that there's an epistle of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you. You can speak for yourself. But I love it. I had rather be associated with Jesus Christ than anybody on this earth, bar none. None. That's who I want to be associated with. I like it when people know I'm a Christian. There's a girl in Pensacola years ago I worked with. This is the wildest girl I've ever seen in my life. I knew a lot of wild people, but my goodness, Brother David, this girl was unbelievable. She told me she lived with a motorcycle gang, outlaw gang. She worked at Coca-Cola. Computer operator. She told me her goal in life was to be a prostitute. Really? That was her goal. She said, "I always wanted to be a prostitute, you know." And they fired her for not wearing enough clothes. For real. For real. They'd have to bring her off and check her out. It's unbelievable. But people like that, you get them saved. You know what? They'll go crazy for God. They don't have no pride. They don't care. I'd witness to her every time I get a chance. She'd see me. She'd say, "What's up?" I'd say, "The Lord Jesus Christ is up." She'd say, "What's new?" I'd say, "The new birth. You've been saved." And I'd get behind her, get my little New Testament back in, and I'd get beside her. I'd say, "Anybody have showed you this right here? You know, for whosoever should not found the book of life should be cast in the lake of fire." I said, "You ever seen that?" She come to me one day. She said, "You know what?" She said, "I'm going to quit hanging around you." She said, "Because you are messing me up. You're making my mind think things that I shouldn't be thinking." Talking about the Lord. They fired her. I saw her about a year later up at the University of West Florida. Was up there playing tennis, and she was up there, and I saw her. And she came up to me. I'll never forget it. She said, "Are you still a Jesus fanatic?" I wanted to turn a cartwheel right there, brother. I mean, that was the greatest compliment you could ever give me. And I said, "Glory to God, you got me right. That's where I'm at right there." Brother, we ought to be a public known and read of all men. They ought to know who we are. And you know what the world does? They watch you. And you know what? I want them to watch me. You say, "They'll notice me." I want them to notice me. I want them to look at me because I want them to see God and the Lord in me, brother. I want them to see something different in me, Miss Rachel. Wherever I go, I want them to know that person right there knows the Lord Jesus. And he's different. There's that public epistle of Christ. And you know the ones that watch you the closest? You know who they are? The ones that are closest to you. The ones that are closest to you, they watch you the closest. And they're the ones that you will influence, or either way or them. I told you about my grandmother. That lady was unbelievable. I mean, every time I seen her on that rocking chair up here, here's what it was. Reading that Bible. I never forget up in where she lived with bad neighborhood. They had some break-in and killings way back in those days. And my daddy and his sister, brothers and sisters, there's five of them, they met with her. She lived there by herself. She's 80-something years old, Miss Ito. And they wanted her to move in with one of the kids. I wasn't saved at the time, but I'll never forget this as long as I live. My daddy and them went up to meet with her, tried to get her moved because they was concerned about her safety in that place, taking care of her. She had cataracts. Couldn't hardly see. She'd had a stroke, Brother Zito. And I'll never forget it, man. My daddy went there and talked with him. He came in the door. My mother was there. She said, "Well, what happened? What'd she say?" My daddy said, "She said, don't worry about her. God's taking care of her." My daddy, I remember, told my mother, he said, "What are you going to say to that? What are you going to say to that?" I mean, that lady knew God, man. I mean, that lady, I see her read that Bible. I remember one time she was in the hospital, had a stroke. Me and Brother Charlie Andrews, years ago, we were out doing some hospital visitation. We visited a guy up here in the hospital, went to our church. Told Brother Charlie, I said, "My grandmama's up here. I want to go by and see her for a few minutes." I said, "She had a stroke. I don't know if she'll know me or what's going on." But I said, "I want to go by and see her for a minute." Up at Princeton West End, they called her back in. And me and Brother Charlie went in there, and I'm telling you, man, God was all over that place. Brother Charlie, he left. He said, "Man, I never experienced anything like that in my head." Tears come down his eyes. He said, "Man, God is all over that place." He said, "I felt like I needed to take my shoes off. Kind of like Moses, I was on holy ground. That dear lady up there." I said, "That's grandmama. She knows God." Got three preachers that come out of that hellhole. You know what? That woman influenced me. Why, I sung that song this morning. You know what, grandmothers? You know what those kids need to see? They need to see you in this book. They need to see you giving out tracts, talking to people about God. My wife, every morning, she's at home. I see her in that recliner, reading that Bible. Now, I'm not talking about a few minutes. She's in it. You know, I hear a little bit later, Sarah's in bed. She'll be sitting there at the bed reading out to Sarah. She goes anywhere, you know what she does? They get a witness in a track. My kids are used to it. My little Sarah, she don't talk much. Esther was at the doctor a while back. She was telling me. And Esther was talking to the doctor about something. And Sarah looked at her and said, "Mom, aren't you going to give her a track?" She's so used to it. That's what your kids need to see. That's the greatest heritage. You can see them. They can see grandmama and mama and dad and papa and Gigi and Nana reading that Bible down there, because the ones that's closest to you, they're the ones you'll influence the most. They'll watch you. That little old grandson of mine, he thinks his papa's something. My daughter called me a while back, and she said she is at the grocery store, and he's talking to this man there. He said, "My papa, he catches crabs with his hands, big crabs." And he said, "My papa, he takes me fishing." And that man said, "Boy, that little boy loves his papa." My daughter said, "He sure does." And I told my daughter, "You know why he loves his papa? Because he knows papa loves him." Brother, I want to be an example to that little guy. I want him to see papa and say, "Oh, papa, he at least gave it a shot serving God." There's the public. You and I, we're an epistle of Jesus Christ. People watch us, and they're looking for the real deal. I remember old Tommy Tillman talk about that man in his book. Remember that? He said he went by that man begging on the street. Tommy said he noticed lepers begging by the side of the road, hidden in enclaves away from those who despise them. However, he still had more to learn about earning their respect and acceptance. See, he's walking down to Bristol City. There's a beggar street with a leprosy. He walked over to him and said with an interpreter, "Son, let me tell you about somebody that loves you." The leper would not even look at Tommy. He said, "I know who you want to tell me about. His name is Jesus. I do not want to hear anything about this person anymore." Brother Tommy says, "You don't want to hear about Jesus? Don't you know he loves you and died for you?" And the leper said, I've heard that over and over from you Christians. To me, it's just hot air coming out of your mouth." Tommy said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I've been on this corner for 2 years begging you Christians to walk down the street into my home, but you just throw me a few coins at me." And Tommy said, "What's wrong with trying to help you?" He said, "I'd like you to come show me some of this love from God you talk about. No Christian's ever spent the night in my home. No one's ever sat down and shared a meal with me. You say you love me?" Remember Tommy talking about that? Tommy said God convicted him that moment. He went to that man's house, remember? Slept on that man's floor. There's a leper, one of the most contagious diseases in the world. No cure. Said the next morning, the leper's daughter made some breakfast. Tommy and his host sat down to eat with a snubby hand. That leper took the food out of his plate with his hands and put it on Tommy's plate and said, "Eat." Tommy froze. He couldn't do it. He could not reach out and eat that food with a leper just touched. He said he prayed, "God, I spent the night in this home. I've gone this far, but I can't go further." He said, "God, can you help me eat this food? I just can't do it, God." He said he felt a warm peace from God fill him. He reached down there and started eating that food. Then another, he said, tears began falling from that leper's eyes. "Mister, this is what I've been always waiting to see." He said, "I've been waiting for somebody to show me Jesus. Now you can tell me about him." Man got saved. A week later, Tommy went to preach in a village about 20 miles away. He rose up, stood in the pulpit, and glanced outside. There stood his leper friend. A man waved a stump and said, "Preacher, they won't let me come in, but I'll go anywhere to hear you." He said, "I love you. You didn't just tell me God's love. You showed it to me. You didn't tell it." He said, everywhere he went, you remember Tommy talking about his, "Preacher, I love you. I'm going to follow you wherever you go. You didn't just tell me about Jesus, but you showed me." You know what people want to see? They want to see you show it. They want to see a epistle of Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads for prayer this morning. Every head bowed. Ask my wife just to come play. Maybe you need to come down to the altar this morning and say, "I'm not where I need to be. I'm not that epistle. I need